We all like to complain, or at least I do. But nobody loves a complainer. Complaining is a whiny, weak, ineffective habit, not likely to produce any result except irritation. Our angry modern world demands something more robust. Every grievance must be inflated until it reaches the level of outrage, at which point it becomes worthy of political attention and media amplification. The public world seems more emotional and less rational than it was even 20 years ago. Television commentators and politicians rage against some injustice or other every day. In normal life, they may be perfectly reasonable people, but given a camera and a microphone, they become the very incarnation of public indignation about problems that they, or you, or I, cannot possibly do anything about. Like Howard Beale in the old movie, Network, they cry, "We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore." But they do take it, whatever it is, and do nothing, because outrage is a fire that must never be allowed to go out. Most of this emotion is about as authentic as the passion of an actor playing King Lear. This sad habit of artificial outrage comes to us all the way down from the complainer-in-chief, who has turned grievance into an art form. Whatever it is, it's disgraceful, and it's somebody else's fault. This public catharsis is supposed to make us feel good, and it must work for some people. It tells us what we should be angry about today, and promotes the reassuring feeling that something is being accomplished. We feel morally improved and self-righteous just because we heard about it and shared the indignation. The trouble with outrage is that it is blind, like loyalty or faith. People performing outrage don't want to conciliate or negotiate. They want to fight. And in the end, they sometimes do. This habit of putting anger at centre stage leaves the calmer and more reasonable part of the population, the vast majority of us, at a psychological disadvantage. Our little complaints don't rise to the level of grievances. We can't very well be outraged about not being outraged. We can't build a winning argument on the basis that things aren't as bad as they seem, or that some modest improvements might be made. Any such thoughtful suggestions will be drowned out by the growls and shrieks of the professionally outraged. High emotion is exciting and always bad for us. So let me end with a gem of wisdom on this subject from the 18th century conservative writer Edmund Burke, who knew a thing or two about extreme politics and who lived in a century in which rational thought was greatly valued. He wrote, and I quote, "Rage and frenzy will pull down more in half an hour than prudence, deliberation, and foresight can build in 100 years. End quote. Burke was wrong about a lot of things, but for more than 2 turbulent centuries, he's been absolutely right about that. This is David Boucher.